This week's Walking Dead Feedback Show is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Now, here's some useful car tips that you might not be aware of. A little bit of olive oil on a coffee filter can clean your interior right up. You can also take excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage. And holding your keychain remote underneath your chin will also increase its range. Those are some weird tips, but here's a not-so-weird tip that True Car can also help you get a used car as well. That's right. True Car isn't just for buying a new car. Oh, no. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy a new or used car. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid as well. So you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. And you're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience too when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 15 is still over, but we're just getting started answering feedback questions about Worth here on The Walking Dead Feedback Show on Post Show Recaps. And now here are the two guys who I know are not going to miss Friday Night Pizza. Josh Wigler, how are you?
Friday Night Pizza and the zombie apocalypse, and I wouldn't just outright kill myself as soon as it starts. Like, if that was something that was, like, actually on the table, like, if you could bunker down at a pizza factory, even if it was a pizza factory.
It's a factory.
I feel like I'd be in. Yeah, like, I'm talking like a Domino's factory. Like, that's not ideal. It's not ideal. But it feels more sustainable than your local pizzeria for like the same reasons that Twinkies will survive in the apocalypse.
Okay. All right. Well, Pizza Fridays, Carl remembers it well. And so we will remember this week's episode well, episode number 15, as we get ready for, they're billing it, Josh, as Survival Sunday.
Survival Sunday. Oh my God. Who is going to get voted out of All Out War? Well, we know Morgan's getting voted out of the tribe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's more of a tribe swap than, or maybe like in a Nicky Adanza sense of the word, where he may be voted out of one show, but it will be then going to another show.
It's like a mutiny situation.
I don't know if he's voluntarily leaving. I think he just kind of got drafted by another show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But he's gone. He's on his way out.
Maybe they told Lenny James, okay, we can pay you $1 more if you switch. We don't know.
You know, Lenny James says, not that I've interviewed him about this already or anything like that, but he has said in other interviews that he is that he was given the choice, that it was his choice to leave Fear the Walking Dead, that he was contacted by Scott Gimple, who gave him a little bit of like a pie in the sky idea of what he wanted to do with Fear the Walking Dead. And if he was interested, it would be his choice to come aboard. And if he was completely not interested, they would come up with a different idea. That's at least the
was the different
like
idea
going to
be that we're going to kill you off on regular Walking Dead.
You can stay on the main Walking Dead, but you will not stay for long. You'll be eliminated very quickly.
Yeah, or maybe. The other idea we have for you, Lenny, is Lenny moves to Oceanside. So you pick.
I'm not ever going to Oceanside.
Yeah, we have a new love interest for you that we're thinking that you're going to be in the caravan with Georgie riding around listening to vinyl. What do you think?
It might be a controversial idea. We're bringing Natanya back to life.
You pick. It's your call. It's your call, Lenny.
Yeah. So you chose wisely, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so here we are getting ready for the big Sunday night of two ships passing in the night, where it will be the finale of season 8 of The Walking Dead, if you can believe it, and then the kickoff of season 4 of Fear the Walking Dead, all in one jam-packed night on AMC, Josh.
That's exciting. Should be an exciting night of television. I know I'm going to be covering it tirelessly over at THR.com while you and Jessica are doing the podcast thing over here. And then we will get our heads together to talk about everything that's happened after it all goes down a few days later. But I'm excited. I think that this is have I enjoyed season 8 overall? Not really. There have been moments that I think that have had some real high points. I think that there have been some very strong performances here and there. I think that the story has dragged on a long time. 16 episodes was a lot of time for All Out War. But I think that the show is at this inflection point. With Morgan going over to Fear the Walking Dead, that feels like there's a lot of creative momentum potentially behind the spinoff show. And this feels kind of like a make or break moment for the main Walking Dead. And just as somebody who appreciates the drama behind the drama, I'm excited to see how that all plays out.
Okay. Of course, just to reset what we're planning in terms of coverage. So to make it all work out, Jess and I will be recording on Sunday night to discuss the finale of season 8. We'll do our recap of The Walking Dead proper on Sunday night. And then on Monday night, we will record our Fear the Walking Dead season 4 premiere recap. And of course, we can answer feedback questions about the regular Walking Dead there. But there's just too much stuff in one night to try to cover it all on Sunday.
It's a lot. It's a lot of apocalypse to have to wade through.
It's a lot. Jess is on the East Coast. That would be a very late night for her recording all this stuff. So we're going to split it up into two nights. So you guys don't have to wait for at least the Walking Dead recap.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. All right. And they're really hyping it up. I see headlines talking about how this is going to be a series altering moment coming up on Sunday night.
On the main Walking Dead.
Yes.
Very interesting. Well, I have seen Scott Gimple talking about how this is not just the season 8 finale, but in many ways, this finale acts
Just the season 8 finale.
It's yeah. Walking Dead worlds apart. It's acting as a finale for the first 8 seasons of the show, which is a curious thing to describe your finale as. And I think like there is this attitude towards Walking Dead right now of kind of like shrugging your shoulders at the thing and sort of waiting. I don't think anyone's even really waiting to be impressed by the show anymore. Which is kind of making me wonder, like, is something actually very big and massive going to happen? Like, could a Rick Grimes die in season 8? Could something as earth shattering as that within the universe of The Walking Dead come to pass in this upcoming moment? So excited to see what it's all about.
Okay. You know, so this is the first 8 season finale.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, it's like every 8 seasons, another chapter of The Walking Dead will close until we're all dead.
Yes. OK. Could the show start in season 9 completely rebooted with a new cast?
Oh, man. I mean, now you're talking. Now you're getting me hot. You know, now you're really speaking my language. I would love that. Yeah. That would be fantastic. Is it unlikely? I don't think it's especially likely. No,
you wouldn't think so. OK,
no. Right. At the very least, Norman Reedus isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, so
a new group rolls up.
Yeah, new Daryl themed spinoff, you think, could be in the offing.
Like a whole group of people rolls up, you know, to this, like, I don't know, to the ruins of Alexandria, and Daryl's there. He's like, I've always been here.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's the Obi-Wan Kenobi for the new class of The Walking Dead.
Okay. Josh, talk to me about your reaction to this past episode that we just saw. We had a lot of stuff with Negan and Simon. Simon gets ratted out by Dwight. Negan ends up killing Simon, but Dwight has also been had. We saw Eugene captured, and then he ends up getting back to business with making the bullets. We saw that Michonne tried to talk to Negan and read Carl's letter, but he wasn't having any of it. What did you think about this week?
There were some moments in this episode that were really incredible. Eugene pulling the trigger and barfing all over Rosita was just such an original sight. You know,
it's just
something that I never would have ever expected to ever see on any show, let alone The Walking Dead. That moment, I was somewhere, I existed somewhere in the world between very stunned and shocked.
Like Rosita.
And yeah, really. And then also just like very nervously entertained. It was such a weird scene.
Mm-hmm.
The projectile vomit escape plan was not, I don't believe that's in the comics, Rob.
That's not from the comics. Do you think that we will see Negan in the season 8 finale of "Guys, I got a new plan. We're yes. gonna puke on our weapons. Get them extra gross."
I think that the that puking your guts out is going to be the new covering yourself in guts of Walker's
nobody
strategy.
Can hear you.
Yeah, everyone's gonna be like, "Oh God, it's human repellent at the very least."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so. Okay, so overall, you were high on episode 15.
I was higher on it than I've been on a few of the recent episodes, I think. I'm really sad to see Stephen Ogg go. You know, we love Simon. Simon was a great character. Mm. Stephen Ogg gave a terrific performance as that character, I thought. And the thing about it was I felt like there were so many different people who had skin in the game in terms of wanting to come after Simon. Like, Jadis is going to have unfulfilled vengeance against him. There's tons of people at the Hilltop that would have liked their shot. And was this the best way to go for Simon to just like get choked to death by Negan? I don't know, but I kind of like that it feels to me like there is sort of a similarity between, in this being a season that had a lot of callbacks or has had a lot of callbacks so far, that we, you know, it almost feels like Rick killing Shane, Negan killing Simon. Like, I feel like it's got that quality to it. So I enjoyed that. I thought that was great. If you're going to lose Simon, at least, you know, kind of lose him in a big way.
Yeah. We saw Stephen Ogg on The Talking Dead this week, Josh. And I'd say it was a little underwhelming. Like, I think he seemed like kind of down. He wasn't really, super pumped up to be there. I mean, I think he's always an interesting guest on The Talking Dead, but he didn't really have a lot to add with his character being killed. The weird thing, though, was they shaved his mustache on the couch.
They shaved his mustache on the couch?
Yeah.
Like, he was shaved on live television?
Yeah, like literally Chris Hardwick came over with clippers and shaved like 75% of his mustache off. And then they let the contest winner shave off the rest of his mustache.
The contest winner couldn't shave more than 25%. They didn't trust the contest winner.
They already let her be a guest on the couch. The contest winner. And it was a very awkward moment when she kind of spoiled the confrontation between the Red Viper and the Mountain from Game of Thrones on The Talking Dead. And then Chris Hardwick seemed to like really try to reverse course as if they are sort of not allowed to talk about Game of Thrones on The Talking Dead.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a rule.
Yeah.
I mean, at least like, you know, it's like kind of like a like an in-house, like, don't touch.
He was
that.
Like, "Oh, Game of Thrones, what's that? Never heard of it." Like, he tried to that's literally what he said.
That's actually kind of funny. That's amazing. I like this idea that like everybody involved in the Walking Dead universe just ignores the existence of Game of Thrones. Like, mm-hmm. It's a Westworld thing. Doesn't look like anything to me.
Yeah. All right. So, that was for The Talking Dead this week. What, speaking of the two trials by combat that we're discussing right now, why do you think that Negan ended up going to that length to just challenge Simon mano a mano?
Well, so, you know, as Stephen Ogg puts it, I interviewed him as well. I thought that he was great. He was really fun. He's the first person I've ever interviewed that like took some time to like really think about the fact that I have a weird last name, which I thought was interesting.
What did he say?
I got on the phone with him and he goes, Josh Wigler. And I'm like, oh God, has Steven Ogg been like listening to the Walking Dead podcast and like hearing us like trash the show a little bit, or has he read any of my stuff? Like, I had no idea where this direction was going. And he eventually just says, like, no matter who else I talk to, you're gonna have the name of the day. And he just like really like dug into my last name for like a solid 2 minutes, and I at first I thought he was making fun of me, but it felt like it was like a celebration.
He loves you.
So I enjoyed it. I had a great time. That was at first a little menacing because he has a very menacing voice, even when he's being a nice man. So I didn't really know what to feel. That all being said, so he, you know, he kind of explains it as it was like Negan's way of honoring Simon on Simon's way out the door, that like he had enough respect for Simon. It's like, you know, it's like this. It's like this alpha male code, I guess, that like, you know, if you're going to come for the crown and you really think you're the guy for the job, then sure, come for it. Let's do it this way. And it's like a display of dominance that Negan has to like squash whatever insurrection was brewing. If there's anyone else within the Saviors that is thinking the way that Simon was thinking, he needs to publicly beat that out of his own crew. So I think that's why he does it so violently. He does it so publicly. And then he tosses Simon onto the fence as a walker to add insult to injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Simon the Walker was certainly impressive. Jessica Frey wrote to us to say, did Simon make the best walker? He looked pretty badass. He still had some character to him.
I feel like the show doesn't let the departed characters come back as walkers nearly often enough, because I feel like this often is really fun to see them go through the full transformation, because I thought that he was excellent. Steven Ogg as a walker, like, he's got an incredible appearance for a zombified version of a character. Like, it was great. And just like the ferocity of when they pull the bucket off, he's just like chomp, chomp, chomping everywhere. But it was also really fun, even just a few weeks ago, to see like the Tobin zombie. I thought the Tobin zombie was kind of great. And like the Shane zombie from way back when, John Bernthal as a zombie, I thought was awesome. I feel like they really don't do that enough. Like the severed Herschel head walker, that was great. Often, you know, more often than not, like someone succumbs to a bite and then everyone does the nice thing and stabs them in the brain afterwards. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, as you're gonna do. But I would write more scenes where, you know, people die and they have to come back as walkers, because I think these actors, they're fantastic walkers.
Andrew Umphrey wrote to us, and in his email, he said, P.S. Too bad Simon wasn't the naked zombie. Whoa.
The naked zombie happened, right?
Yeah.
It was like very quick.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah, it was just like in the background.
I can't believe that was the naked zombie.
Yes, that was it.
I don't think I was here to talk about the naked zombie. I think that was while I was away.
Might have been the week. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Ridiculous. This was a story?
Yeah.
That was a story? There's a naked zombie in the far background that you can barely tell is naked.
That's right.
Here's a headline.
Yeah. Right. There you go.
Okay. Simon as a naked zombie would have been fun. I'm sure Steven Ogg would have been up for it.
Yeah. Andrew Umphrey, in the email that he closed with that PS, wrote, hey guys, who had the worst night? Aaron on his delirious trip through the woods or Josh's night on Ghost Island?
I like Aaron's odds of making fire better than I like my own.
Andrew adds, also, I thought his speech was pretty lamely written and I felt sorry for the actor.
Yeah, but Ross Marquand is an incredible actor. We've talked about like his impressions that he does in the past. Like he's a very talented guy, but this whole Aaron storyline is kind of whatever. It's like living out in the woods just to to, you know, beg Oceanside to come to his aid. I don't think that anyone really cares. Like, what's going to happen? Like, the Oceansiders are going to come and save everybody in the 11th hour. That was like what this is all building towards.
With what?
I don't know. With things.
It's just that people are a resource, Rob. Don't you forget it.
With sharp sticks and gumption.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think it's just going to be like every character in the Walking Dead universe will converge upon this battlefield, and it's going to be like the Braveheart of the Walking Dead universe. People are going to be wearing face paint. Rick's going to give like his big William Wallace speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's going to be great.
All right. So then, Josh, okay, let me get to some of the important questions I have for you. Okay. I have a game for you.
Ooh, a game. I like games.
Yes. Okay. The rules are somewhat complicated, but no, it shouldn't be too bad. And okay.
Okay. I think I can follow along.
Miguel writes in to say, in the spirit of Lost and in the advance of Sunday's finale, I'm sending in a list of oddball season 8 unanswered questions and asking if you might look into your crystal ball and give us the percentage on each of these being answered this week. So
oh gosh.
I've got 8 questions for you. And okay. So what I want you to do is to, if you have a pen handy, write down the percentage chance that you think these things will happen on Sunday night's finale. Okay.
Okay.
And then one of us will have the higher number on this, and then you own it. Okay. And so the game is going to be, if the thing then comes true, you get 2 points. If you owned it and it came true, you get 2 points. If you owned it and it didn't come true, you get -1 point.
Okay. All right.
So you have to own things to win the game. But if you own too many things, then you'll have too many things that you lose points for and you'll lose the game.
What's on the line? Do we have to write a letter to the, does the loser have to write a letter to the winner?
Yes.
And like advise them on the best course of action moving forward for all games in the future.
Yeah. Do you like hat bets?
Stop it. Stop. Crossover.
Yeah.
Crossover.
Look, Nicole may have changed her opinion on the Wombat's hat.
I saw that. I appreciate that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We had a conversation about it last night.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. All right. Miguel, I love the game. I love the idea, but really should have been 8 questions. Only 7 questions here.
Oh, so it's not 8 questions.
It's 7 questions about season 8.
Okay, got it. Well, I thought it was like the Lost number, so it would be 8 questions. 7 is not a Lost number.
Okay.
but I'm good. I'm good for 7 questions. I can do this.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Number 1. Will Negan let Jadis know he avenged the garbage people? Okay. You need to lock in your percent chance that that will happen. Will Negan let Jadis know he avenged the garbage people?
Now, let's talk that through for a second really quickly, if we may. Does that mean he sees Jadis and says, yo, Jadis, I totally avenged the garbage people?
I don't think he has to use those words, but he would have to let Jadis know, hey, I took care of Simon.
Verbally, yes. Verbally. Like, yes. You know, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. All right. Josh, what was your percent chance that happens on Sunday night?
I've got that at 60%.
60%. Okay, you own it. Like I have 60, that at 5%.
I think there's like a 60% shot that that, you know, Negan is going to be looking for, you know, people. They're a resource. He is going to want to have Jadis on his side if he can convince her to come back. They just had sort of like a bonding thing. Maybe he's going to think that this is going to be the thing that convinces her to play ball. 60%.
Okay. All right. Will we find out who is piloting the helicopter?
Okay. Will we find out who is piloting the helicopter?
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
All right. I'll go first to tell you what I wrote down. I'm 100% on this.
Wow. Okay. You own it. I went with 75% because I think that there is a chance that Walking Dead does some Walking Dead nonsense and like the ends the season. It's like, who is that? And you don't see who it is. I think you're probably right. I think that this is going to be 2 points for you. I think right now we're at 2-1 is my prediction.
Yeah, we should have worked in some sort of an auction budget on this. Yes. But okay. All right. Will Georgie return?
Okay.
Tricky one. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Will Georgie return? And will she have more music
Let's not make it more confusing.
Okay.
Will Georgie return? Josh, what percentage chance did you give that?
I need to start owning a few more things, I think, and just taking some risks. So I went with 100%.
Okay. I went 40%.
I think 100% chance that Georgie is back in the season finale, may even somehow be connected to the helicopter and was testing these people. Yeah, because she loves art, so maybe that's why she keeps going back to the heaps. She wants those sculptures, right? Like she wants what Jadis is working on. No, but I think that there's a chance. I think that there's a shot. I think in her interview with Dalton Ross, Jane Atkinson made it sound like her future with The Walking Dead is still open. And whether or not that would mean like a down the line appearance, who knows, maybe, but that feels like a lot to toss onto Jane Atkinson without her knowing concretely that she's coming back. So I feel like a decent shot of her coming back here in the finale. So I'm just going to own it. I'm just going to take it 100%.
Yeah. I think that maybe it's just like a little shot across the bow to Melissa McBride and her next contract negotiations. Like, I could see Jane Atkinson could come in and be the new Carol type.
I don't think there's any replacing Carol.
No, I don't think so.
You cannot replace Carol. But look, sometimes in
these negotiations, you have to like talk tough.
They got to pay Carol a lot of money. Melissa McBride's got to make a few bucks now that they've lost Lauren Cohen, if they've lost her for real. So
I think they feel like, hey, if we can lose Maggie, we can lose you too.
Oh my God, they're feeling really dangerous right now.
Yeah.
Come at us. We'll do anything.
Yeah.
We killed the kid. We'll kill the other kid.
Yeah. All right. Question number four. Will Alden confront Rick about killing the saviors, his savior buddies?
I had to take a minute to think about who the hell Alden is, to be honest.
Yes.
He's like the sexy savior prisoner, right?
Yeah, Justin Timberlake. Yes.
Justin Timberlake. Yeah. Okay.
I said 20% chance.
Yeah, I gave that a 10% chance.
Okay, so I own that.
You own that. I mean, there's so many other conversations Rick has to have other than frickin' Alden.
Yeah, there's not a lot of time for it, but I could see it. I mean, that guy has to do something. Yeah.
He could talk to Maggie. You know, I think Maggie and Alden feel a little more connected in that kind of realm. I think that, you know, he's been trying to like show her that he's been on the right side of things. I think that you can get a scene between those characters. Then again, you know, if Rick leads like the charge toward war and like is really rallying the forces, you can see this guy being like, hey, Rick, I promise I'm definitely on the level.
Yeah, that's kind of how he talks. Yeah, that's good.
He kind of he talks like what's the guy from Numbers, his name? Oh. You know that guy?
I was going to say Vinny Delpino.
His name is Numbers TV series. David Krumholtz is the name of the actor.
Yeah.
Look him up. Okay. Yeah, he kind of has the voice of David Krumholtz.
Yeah. Okay. Question number five.
Thick New York accent.
Will we see Maggie give birth in a flash forward?
Will we see Maggie give birth in a flash forward? Oh, man. Because there's like aspects of this that I feel like could happen, but are we going to like see that? So this is very specific. Are we going to see like a birth scene? Or will we see some point in the future that Maggie's child has been born? Those are two different things.
I will accept any version of Maggie and Glenn's baby is alive and born in some sort of the future. Dream sequence, I feel like, is a little that, like if we did like some sort of like Spaghetti Tuesday and it's a future dream sequence. And was it real? Was it not? I feel like that one is the real gray area. But
we're not talking about like scenes like that are like happening in a montage where like Maggie has to be like giving birth in a scene for it to count. Like we could be skipping forward in time.
We skip and forward Maggie's in time. Maggie's kid is 30 years old. That counts. Okay.
That would be a hardcore reboot of The Walking Dead, and I'd be here for it. You know, skip straight to the season 27
flash
timeline.
Forward to Negan is marrying Maggie's daughter.
Oh my God, badass baby Judith. I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Okay.
All right. Who goes first?
You
who
do. Reveals? You do.
Give it 55%.
55%. Wow. You were way. I had 8% on this. 55%.
You know, I'm trying to think of like if they're going to do the hardcore reboot of this show, then skipping forward in time makes a lot of sense. And also makes me feel like the way out on Lauren Cohen knowing no longer wanting to be on the show or no longer just being on the show, whether or not she wants to be, like gives her a bit of an out there.
You could see like a Padme type exit for Lauren Cohen.
Well, less of a Padme type exit and more of like, you know, if it's like a few years down the line or at least like the baby has been born and like several months later, like I think that's where you could start the conversation at least of losing that character. I think losing her while she's pregnant in any capacity, really losing her in any capacity.
I think her dying awful. In childbirth, though, would be the most noble way that she could go.
Oh man, but that's so, it's so Lori Grimes. I guess like she was there for Lori Grimes when that happened, so there's some symmetry there, but I would just I think that'd be bad. I don't know how they're gonna do it. I'll own it. I don't care. It's fine. Okay. Let's do it. Let's gotta own some. Like if I end up all negatives, I will count that as a victory of its own.
Okay. Number six, will Sherry return? Will we see Sherry in the season 8 finale?
So how are we gonna settle this one, because I assume you are at 0%.
Oh, I'm not at 0%, so I guess I had it at 5%.
Wow. Yeah,
and Negan did just mention her in the last episode. That's the one thing that's my 1 in 20 shot that they're gonna bring her back, that Negan mentioned her.
I'm going to be completely wrong. Every single prediction of mine will be wrong. All of them will be off. Okay. Sherry's going to come back. Not only is she going to come back, but she is going to be the new queen of the saviors.
Yes.
Series regular season 9. Watch out, world.
She's a good leader, Sherry.
Yeah. She's okay. Great leader.
All right.
Best.
All right. So you own 3 things. I own 3 things right now. I own the 3 even-numbered things. You own the 3 odd-numbered things. Here we are. This one that okay, we'll see how this goes. Question number 7 is: will Heath return?
Of course. I mean, he's flying the helicopter, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Will Heath return? What's Corey Hawkins doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Is he available to come back?
Mm-hmm.
A lot has to happen in this finale.
Remember when Morales came back? That was still season 8.
I can't believe that. That feels like forever ago. That feels like 7 seasons ago.
Will Morales come back in the season finale?
Yeah, zombie Morales. No. All right. You tell me where you went with this. Was Heath?
Okay, I went with a absolute 0.
You went with an absolute 0. Okay, so I own the odds. I went with 33%.
Yeah,
33%.
Okay, so Josh, okay, so this is, we got some skin in the game coming up on Sunday night.
Okay. Wow. I mean, someone's going to have to keep track of this because
I have it in my notes.
Okay.
This should be easy to keep track of. And we'll talk about this on the feedback show next week.
The loser writes a letter to the winner that outlines their vision of the future for the winner and what they need to do to get themselves on track.
Okay. Does it need to be a handwritten note or will...
Yes. Well, okay. I think it'd be ideal if you wrote it out by hand.
And then then scanned it and then sent it to you and then you could print it out.
Yeah, or you could canvas people the letter. and you have to read it on our next Walking Dead show.
Okay. All right.
When we get together at some point in the future and talk about all of these shenanigans that are about to happen. All right.
So just to be clear, so here's the season 8 prediction game. Okay. This, according to Josh, that he sees if, and this is like a Mad Lib. So in Josh's version of the finale, Negan will let Jadis know that he avenged the garbage people.
Jadis, it's done.
Okay. I love my my version of the finale.
Then Georgie comes back. Then Heath comes back. And then we close it all out with a flash forward where Maggie is giving birth.
Yes, yes, yes. That's going to be all of the big stuff that happens in the finale. Your version of events. What's your version of events again?
We see who's piloting the helicopter.
It feels likely.
Alden confronts Rick about killing his savior buddies.
Likely-ish.
And then Sherry also comes back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if any of these things will happen. I expect we'll find out about the helicopter.
It might be a case of that you just that none of these things happen, and you just owning four things ultimately makes me the winner.
That's true. That's true. I should have tried to just tank this.
You could have just tried to own nothing.
That's smart. Was that what you did?
No, that wasn't what I did. But I did try to. You know, if I felt like something wasn't going to happen,
that would have been a good strategy. Is just to own nothing. And to let you take all of the picks,
just like global thermonuclear war. The only way to win is to not play.
That's right. Nuke the site from orbit.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, we've got our predictions for what's going to happen.
Okay. Let me give you a few more questions. Vicky wants to know, why did Carl die? I thought his death was supposed to lead to the groups being in a more peaceable place. I don't see this happening.
I think it still will, but they had to make seven more episodes, you know, and like that's the problem with this infernal show, that they've got way too many episodes. So they couldn't let Rick come to a place of peace at the halfway mark of the season right away. He had to be all Captain Murder Cranky Pants and kill all of the saviors and completely ignore his son's advice on the way out the door. And now that he's read the letter, I think Rick is going to be whistling a different tune. I think his mercy will prevail over his wrath. Yeah. He's going to harmonize with the Savior's tune. Yes. Yes.
Also, Vicky wants to know, she says, Rob, you were right. I did not recognize that girl that ratted on Dwight. I only realized it was her by Dwight's reaction. Josh, when you saw that woman, did you know who she was instantly and recall her whole sordid history with the Saviors?
Not by name. I still don't remember the character's name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, she was a loose end. You know, she was the person who knew about Dwight.
You
she
like
was
that missing. Reveal?
I didn't say that. but I felt like it wasn't hard to see. I felt like it made sense in the context of where they had left things for that character, that like she had this big secret of Dwight's, she was missing, nobody found her. They made a point to let you know that. And they ended last week's episode or the week before's episode with Negan seeing somebody who says like, if shit could shit, you still wouldn't look as shitty as shit or whatever he said. And it just felt like, yeah, that's probably the same person.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, this is, tell me if this is a little too inside baseball bat. This is a question from Dominic Malpietti, who says, this episode gave me Breaking Bad vibes in the way that it was shot, especially in the beginning with Eugene and Father Gabriel in the workshop with the protective gear and masks, and the way it was shot, how Eugene held up the bullet to look at it. I looked up that the director was Michael Slovis, and he had indeed worked on Breaking Bad, and he was the director of photography for most of that series, also Game of Thrones. Did you notice this, Josh? Do you have any information on this? I love the way the episode was shot, and I hope they explore new directing styles because it kept it very interesting.
I have no information on this. I have no inside info. Michael Slovis is a very talented individual. He has all of the credits that were listed here. I did think that like the brawl between Simon and Negan, and especially like that final moment where he's like choking Simon out, that felt like you could imagine Walter White choking somebody out and like the scene looking like that. Although often like Walter would be the person who is getting choked. He would just always find some sort of like blue crystal getaway plan. But like at that moment actually did feel a little Breaking Bad-ish to me, but I don't know. I feel like Walking Dead often looks very similar, or maybe I'm just not looking at it with that eye anymore, in terms of how they're shooting things stylistically differently, from episode to episode. I would love for them to shake up the style. But I didn't really catch it this week personally.
Okay. Matthew Murphy asked us, is vomit covered Rosita the most relevant she's ever been?
Oh, stop. Rosita's like one of the most relevant characters on the show these days. You know,
she is.
No, I don't know if that's true, but she's fine. She's fine. You know, she, you know, she's been helpful lately.
Yeah.
She's been doing stuff. She's been trying to. You know.
What was the highlight of the Rosita era of The Walking Dead? So she came on board with Abraham.
Right. She came on board with Abraham and Eugene. Mm-hmm. Didn't do much of anything for a good long while. Broke up with Abraham. That was sad.
I feel like more Abraham broke up with her, but.
Right. It was very upsetting. She was very upset. And then Abraham died, and then she was really angry for a while.
She was going to date Spencer.
Right. And then Spencer died.
Right.
Which was good riddance.
Mm-hmm. She seemed really mad at Negan following the incident with Abraham. And that was when she told Eugene that she needed a bullet because she was just, I just need one bullet. Because she was going to kill Negan. And then, of course, she screwed up. And then Negan somehow stopped the bullet with a baseball bat. And then that's when Eugene got captured. But then, you know, and she's, you know, mad at Eugene for this.
And then she tried to assassinate Negan. She went off on like her spy mission to assassinate Negan. And it didn't really go anywhere.
And then Sasha died.
Right. So that was, you know, I think season 7 was sort of Rosita's season, which was hit or miss.
Yeah. I mean, look, so far that the only thing that went wrong with this plan was that Eugene escaped and got back to the saviors. So, I mean, in terms of Rosita's plans, this is probably one of the most successful Rosita capers that she's ever been on.
And I think she can be forgiven because she got puked on.
Right.
And who's counting on that? And like, I think human puke in the apocalypse is almost worse than zombie gore at this point, because zombie gore is so the norm. And, you know, people just like puking on you. Like that's a painful reminder of what it was like to be in civilization.
Yeah. Yes. Especially,
I don't know about you, but like, I'm just getting puked on all the time in New York.
Hopefully by not by people that are eating anchovy mac and cheese.
It's just my cat. My cat pukes all the time.
Okay.
And he's eating mostly anchovy types of food though. So it's pretty gross.
Okay.
It's not great.
All right. Josh, anything else from this past week's show or anything looking ahead to Sunday night, Survival Sunday?
No, I'm so much more hyped up for Fear the Walking Dead, premiering than I am for the Walking Dead finale. And hopefully, my expectations for Fear the Walking Dead aren't too high. And ideally my expectations for the season 8 finale of the Walking Dead are, nice and low and will therefore be defied is my hope, because my expectations are pretty low. But they're talking a big game. They've done this before, so I'm not really expecting much, but who knows? I would love to be surprised by the quality of this coming episode. So knocking on wood that that's the case.
Okay. All right. So, what is the hashtag for, this episode? Josh, Heathpocalypse?
Heathpocalypse. Yeah, that's like the evolution of the Heathcliff. It's like when you come back from the Heathcliff, you're in the Heathpocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like it.
All right, there we go. Of course, follow anything Josh is writing about The Walking Dead. Get that when you follow him on Twitter. He is at Round Howard. I'm at Rob Cisternino. We also have our latest Game of Thrones rewatch available for you to check out. The Climb.
The Climb. Game of Thrones. That's a show. I don't know what that is.
Oh, hey. All right, let's go to commercial. What is this?
Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah. I mean, it's a spoil the yeah. You know, that one thing is not a cool thing to yeah. do on national TV.
And the contest winner on The Talking Dead was I don't know, not a slam dunk, not a hit for me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was just, you know, it was Rosita, it was Stephen Ogg, and it was also the contest winner.
You can't even like deign to name the contest winner. It's just the contest winner. That sounds like a great Oscar nominated drama. The contest winner.
Well, look, I think it's fine if you want to have the contest winner on the show, but I don't think that the contest winner should be on the couch.
Sure. Sure. So it's like you get to come and watch a taping of The Talking Dead.
And then we'll talk to you like Chris Hardwick can bring her out and be like, oh, hey, guys, the contest winner is here. Oh, contest winner. Right. Right. And then they can ask her like, oh, what'd you think about this? What's going to happen with Negan? And then yeah. like, oh, my God, I'm so excited to be here. But, you know, I don't need her to weigh in on the episode.
The contest winner is also a great name for like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like if Larry David was the contest winner and he ended up on The Talking Dead, I feel like that would be pretty
yeah, that good. Would be great. I mean, we've had Jason Alexander on the couch and he was fantastic. But I mean, if I could have Ron Funches or the contest winner on the couch, the show is a lot more fun when it's Ron Funches and not the contest winner.
Well, you love Ron Funches.
I do love Ron Funches. Yeah. All right. So
sounds like Talking Dead is going to be quite the event for
the finale.
It's going to
be lit on Sunday night.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to have like everybody's going to be in the house.
Yes, I think that maybe they'll be fighting over like, hey, can we talk about my show?
Yeah, no, we got to talk about my show.
Yeah, I hope they get into some Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead family feud.
That would be great. But I bet that they're going to pretend like the Family Feud doesn't exist as well.
Oh, what's that? Never heard of it.
That's new.
All right. So that being said, great catching up with you, Josh. We have to also talk that I know a lot of people really wanted us to do Beer the Walking Dead.
Yes.
And talk about the history of Fear the Walking Dead. That timing wise, I just don't think that it's going to work out. It was an inspired Sadly. Idea. I don't think it's going to work, but
we can back pocket that. I feel like there's a Beer the Walking Dead podcast somewhere in our future.
Yeah. Could I put 3 minutes on the clock and us give basically everything you need to know about Fear the Walking Dead?
Oh my God. Do we have to go the full 3 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. Could we do the plot of Fear the Walking Dead, 3 seasons of it in 3 minutes?
I feel notes. Like, oh my God. All right.
And we could like cut this up into its own thing and put it out on social media. Okay.
Okay. Here, let's give it a shot.
All right.
Tell me when you're ready.
All right. So this, we'll set this up. Okay. All right. For anybody that needs to get caught up on Fear the Walking Dead before this Sunday night's premiere of season 4, if you haven't been watching, my esteemed colleague and I, Josh Wigler, are about to try to see if we could tell you the whole plot of Fear the Walking Dead in 3 minutes.
God help us all.
All right, here we go. On your mark, get set, go. Once upon a time, Josh, there were a mixed family of the Manawas and the Clarks.
The Manawas!
And there was
a guy,
Travis Manawa, and he had a kid, Chris. And then
he loved White Fang, the novel. He was a big fan of that book. And his
we don't have time for that. We don't
his
have
fiance was Madison, and she was a guidance counselor. She was a bad guidance counselor.
Yes.
She like let a kid bring a knife to school.
Yeah, and she had two kids, Alicia and Nick. And Nick was really mixed up into drugs, and she was like, Nick, stop doing drugs.
And then Alicia was like class president and she was really cool.
She had a boyfriend.
And she had a lot of judgment towards Nick. Yeah, her boyfriend was Randy from The Wire. Yes.
Also, Nick was like doing heroin somewhere with like patient zero of the zombie apocalypse that we don't really understand how that all came together. But anyway,
very traumatic.
Everything goes terrible, that they have to get out of LA. They're sort of like bunkered up in their house. Like their house sort of gets like barricaded in the one of the quarantine zones.
And then they yada yada through like the quarantine period. Like they skip forward in time by like 9 days and like suddenly like we're just like really going through the apocalypse pretty quickly, where the nitty gritty was kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so they meet the guy, Daniel Salazar. He has a daughter. Ultimately, they end up, Nick gets captured by the government. Then they meet the guy named Strand. They all escape together on Strand's boat. It also, Travis's first wife also dies, Chris's mom. Very sad. Then season very two, sad. They're on a boat. They're riding around. They're going to Mexico. They end up landing somewhere because that guy Strand had the boat. He had a boyfriend. He's kind of a grifter. And the guy was named Abigail. And they go to the Abigail estate. And there's a lady there that makes pozole.
Very good pozole. But Daniel Salazar is not having any of the pozole. Also, he's going crazy because he's lost his wife. And he's seeing like visions of her ghost. And he burns the whole place to the ground by accident. Yeah. And doesn't Madison just like lock the woman,
pozole like lady dies. Okay, less than a minute to go here, and then so anyway, Abigail dies, and then they get split up again. Killer Chris goes like cuckoo; he's like off on his own, and Travis goes to chase him. That's for like a lot of season three, and then makes
bad friends, and then they let him die, and Chris dies.
Right? There's a whole thing where they go to a hotel, and they're living in the hotel for a little while, and then ultimately they end up on the road again, and then the back half of season three, it starts off. Travis Manawa dies. They kill off Travis Manawa.
Chris falls off a helicopter. It's very dramatic.
Chris is already dead at this point, and then it's just Nick and Madison and Alicia, and they're on a compound with
racists.
Like, yeah, and then they're fighting with like an Indian reservation.
Taka Walker. Love Taka Walker. Hope we're seeing some Taka Walker in season four.
And that's it. That's time is up. And then they go to like a dam and then they're fighting for water over there.
And the dam explodes.
Then the dam explodes and we don't know who survives.
We couldn't do it. There's a lot. There's a lot that happens in Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah. And that's basically it. Madison's still alive. That we assume and from the commercials that Alicia and Nick are still alive. And so is Strand.
Strand is out there and who knows who else. Yeah. And now what you need to know is Morgan is coming to Fear the Walking Dead. Morgan is coming.
So that's it. That basically nothing from the first three seasons of Fear the Walking Dead matters. I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't think it's really going to matter. I think you can imagine that Morgan is going to encounter a group of people that know each other very well because they have survived several years in the zombie apocalypse together. And I bet you could just start there and you would be totally fine.
Okay. All right. So that's that. We'll see you on Sunday. Enjoy Survival Sunday. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.